You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.
Bon dia, Manny. We're back at it again for another Safety Corner.
I'm going to enjoy these, and I love that you came in just starting out of the gate, like, gone. The rabbit took off and the hounds are out.
I'm a little flared up today, Manny.
Because you bring up a really valid point, and today we're going to talk about unemployment in construction and how it's connected to safety in construction.
100%. Unemployment in construction right now is...
Let's be real, and I don't want to sugarcoat shit.
All right.
Because the truth of the matter is that we're starting to see layoffs, major layoffs.
Yes. So... from my perspective. So fortunately for us, S1, we have a wide range of consulting clients. Clients that we go to their projects, we do inspections, we do safety talks. So we're in a good position based on our clients to kind of see how unemployment in construction, how it's affecting, right? So we have clients in infrastructure. We got a lot of clients in low rise. We have a lot of clients in high rise. We have industrial clients, factories and stuff like that. And we're starting to see it at a really crazy level. So all the stats and data when it comes to unemployment, I'm calling bullshit on all of them when it comes to construction.
Where are they collecting all this data from? Like, who are they speaking to?
I have no idea.
Right? Because it's not a fair reflection of what's actually going on, boots on the ground.
Right. Is it real-time data? No. It definitely isn't. And a lot of people in construction can speak to this. Some of them are unemployed currently right now. Some of them are at home. But we can take a look at some of these different sectors and kind of discuss, I guess, or review or go over what the unemployment is really like over there. You know, this last week has been pretty crazy on my side in terms of workers calling me and asking me if I know anybody that's hiring. Fortunately, I've gotten those
calls all the time.
Man. Sure.
People reaching out to the show and they're like, do you know anybody who's looking?
100%. But the amount, the scale, the amount of resumes that I'm getting sent, the amount of phone calls, this is for me is unprecedented. That's one indicator for me. The second indicator for me in low rise is the project starts and my clients and whether or not they're working. We have clients that are carpentry clients. We have clients that are masons. Low-rise forming. So we have a nice little mix in the low-rise sector. That being said, there's easily an 80% reduction in the amount of construction projects that my clients are working on. Meaning, at the peak of construction last year or a year and a half ago, you know, some of my clients were on 10 projects, 15 projects. These projects had 30 crews, 40 crews. Everyone was going full tilt.
Now, you're talking the peak of construction last year, which is not relevant to the peak of construction of the pandemic years. This is historically speaking.
Well, no, I'm speaking in the last 3 years. There was a peak time there where they were screaming labor shortages. They were, we need workers. We got all these projects and all these projects need to be built and stuff like that. And now what do we see? Low-rise sites that look like ghost towns.
You right? normally see so much vehicle, truck, traffic, slowdowns, lane restrictions. That's not there anymore. You actually have free-flowing traffic going around structures.
Yeah, I guess that's a side effect. It's a better traffic. But when you go onto a low-rise site and you see 100 foundations poured and nobody working on them.
You got a question.
Well, definitely. And we look at our clients. And our clients in the low-rise sector have had easily an 80% reduction in projects. So what does that mean for the workforce? Is it fair to say an 80% reduction in workers?
Of course it does.
I don't need all these workers.
So what's really going on? Let's go from the top down. What's really going on is that they get the approvals to start the project. Mm-hmm. They have the funding to start the project. Then they start building the project. But now things are getting restricted because now you can't sell the projects.
Well, you know, the business aspect of it, for me is there work or there isn't work, right? For my clients. And that's always been my concern. And this affects the safety industry. This affects the entire safety system in this province.
Because you would think, and I would say, it's the first thing to go.
Safety?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To save dollars.
So it comes down to psychology, right? There's a bit of psychology in safety. And when you start looking at it, you know, not having money is the root of all evil. So people will take bigger risks and bigger chances to get money.
Hope that nothing goes wrong.
oh, you'll take bigger risks. Yeah, you know, you see some of these videos we post, you know, this country is not Canada, not United States, but other countries. And you see these guys and you think to yourself, why would you do it like that? Why wouldn't you tie off? Why would you be up there and this and that? And the bottom line is money.
They're only getting paid at a set amount and
sure
for the day, for the work, for the scope.
Whatever they got to do to feed their families.
Exactly. That's how they look at it.
And slowly we're being pushed
into that.
Into that. Right. And you see it more and more. But back to unemployment. So if we're saying we have an 80% reduction in low rise of projects, you know, as someone told me the other day, and again, I'm just speaking from my perspective. Fortunately enough, we have the Instagram account. We've been in this industry a long time. We have a lot of connections. A lot of people talk to us on Instagram. And the stories we're hearing are horrible. And we're talking about guys being laid off, projects not starting. We heard last week that there was a meeting. They've only sold 3,000 houses in Ontario this year so far, new builds.
So we're right now the first week of October.
Yeah.
Right. So the data, and that's why I was laughing when they announced that 1.5 million homes in 10 years. Right. I was like, you never hit it in history. You'll never hit it in the future.
No, it's gaslighting at its finest. Yeah,
that's all it is. Right.
You know, it's
they get their speaker box on the media channels and they say this is what's going to happen. And it never happens.
Listen, what the top level says and what's really happening on the ground. Day and night.
The top level should be visiting job sites and understanding. They only show up when the golden shovel's there. They show up when the golden shovel's there, the scissors are there, and the ribbon's there. That's when they show up.
One thing's for sure. What's happening now is affecting the people on the bottom of the food chain, right? It's affecting, and I won't say the bottom of the food chain, but the bottom, you know, the guys that are in the trenches, the guys that are dropping the bricks, the guys that are, you know, in the mud. That's who it's affecting. So we got the low-rise sector like that, and slowly that's branching off into the high-rise sector. So high-rise sector, Toronto used to be the world's capital for tower cranes. I guarantee you we've lost that position.
Of course we do.
We're not number one.
No,
I think at peak we're at 220 tower cranes. From what
I've been told, all pre-con has stopped. Like
pretty much.
They're not selling units anymore these days. They're trying to still sell the units that they're actually constructing right now. Do the top brass slow things down on purpose? Stretch things out?
I don't want to speculate.
Because I'm just trying to figure out is that you got a workforce, they have a subcontract situation, they're hired on, and then they tell them to kind of slow down because they don't want to pay them just yet. But obviously the workforce is, a mindset of a tradesperson is what? Start the project, do the project, finish the project. Sure. The moment you take out one of those equations, you start to rattle the cage, so to speak.
Well, listen, this is like throwing a massive rock into a still pond.
Yeah.
Every ripple that comes out from that center has effect on people, right? So, you know, there's a lot of contributing factors and people will argue it's the immigration, it's the interest rates, it's the policies, it's this and that, it's greed, you know, and it's probably a mix of all of those things, right? But who's feeling it? So what's the unemployment really like in all of construction? Well, different sectors, you know, ICI, probably is still going, but not as much. High rise is still going, but not as much. So in those sectors, you're probably looking at 20% unemployment, maybe a little bit more.
But this is the beginning.
Yeah.
We're not in the middle. We're not at the end.
No.
This is the beginning. No,
this will be, in my lifetime, and I'm 44 years old, the worst winter of construction ever.
I think so.
Ever.
I've been telling people that this ain't going to turn around until 27.
I don't even think they're going to reduce interest rates lower than 4%.
You're getting a lot of people speculating that it is, but you're getting people listening to the banks telling you that's good. And I'm like, it's a marketing machine. Just understand that. They need more product to be sold. So they're going to give you an insight saying, oh, we're going to lower interest rates. We know it's going to come.
Well, listen, but
that's not the case.
For me, in the last 5 years, I'm at a point right now where I take everything as gaslighting. Everything that comes from the top level. Everything. You know, and I feel for, let's say, all the new kids that got into the trades in the last 2-3 years.
Where are they working?
I'll say that unemployment in that age group in construction, I'll say it's easily 60-70%.
I'd agree. I'd probably even go a little higher on top of that.
Right? Like, I'm an employer. I'm laying off my best guys.
I'm not going to bring in new guys and girls. It doesn't matter. Like,
no, there's
the thing is that you're not going to take the risk of bringing somebody fresh to kind of hold their hand along the, when you've got solid guys that are being sent home. You can't do that as a business owner. You can't as a subcontractor.
There is a lot of good ways to measure in real time what the unemployment rate is. One of the ways is take a look at some of the largest construction unions and figure out how many guys are at home.
Yeah.
How many workers?
They never reveal that information.
I don't know. You know, I don't want to be here and talking about rumors. But the word on the street, that unemployment is really high in these unions. And if you look at some of these unions, you know, they might have 60,000 members. You know, the rumor on the street is that there's close to 20,000 workers sitting at home.
I heard with the drywall, half of them are at home.
Yeah, I'll take that.
So, Philip, what's the mindset of that tradesperson right now? So they get laid off, they go home, no money's coming in, there's no real support from the union. Here in Canada, we have unemployment insurance. So then all of a sudden they jump on unemployment insurance. It's a fraction of what they're getting paid basically just to survive because they've been paying into it. But how long can they survive at that point before they go, I gotta go find some other work or I gotta go find some cash jobs?
Man, listen, I think a lot of workers that are on EI have flipped to cash jobs. I think the underground economy is thriving right now.
Yeah.
And I don't blame it. I don't blame it. You know, but underground economy tends to lead to lower safety standards.
It does.
Right? Workers that don't speak English and employers that abuse them. So what we're going to see in this environment of high unemployment is further abuses in our safety system. And unemployment affects safety in another way. Hours that workers work.
You're now going to get inspectors being laid off? Or are you going to get inspectors not
I don't think inspectors would be laid off. I think there's a good portion of people at the Ministry of Labor that they can take the page out of Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter, right? How about these workers that have a stay-at-home mom at home, right? Taking care of the kids and stuff. How is that going to affect if the father's at home or the wife's at home and the father, whatever dynamic it is? You know, single income coming in, right? But this has repercussions to other industries and sectors too. And I know this sounds a little crazy, but like think of like a nail salon, okay? It's expensive. Get your nails done, get your hair done, get this and get that. And if there's no money for food, how is there going to be money for these extras, right? Or look at vehicles. How are they going to sell cars? Nobody's going to be buying cars. Can't afford to buy food.
No, right now, people are panicking on leases that are probably coming up.
Oh,
3-year, 5-year leases that are coming up where they either have to buy them out. So you're talking about construction, commercial vehicles. They always have that system in play where you can't just walk away from the lease. You either have to buy it out or you got to roll it over to another one.
Oh, yeah. It's easy. It's
done in their benefit. Not to the person working and using that as a tool.
No. It's insane. If you start really drilling down how many people can be affected by this, how long this effect can take place, right? If they decide not to lower interest rates any further, is construction going to pick up back in 2025?
You can lower it 50. It doesn't matter how many basis points. I think right now everybody's hunkering down.
Yeah,
that's all. They're trying to figure out. I said it on another show recently where I was like, everyone has been dipping into their nest egg. Whatever cash you have underneath the mattress, everyone's dipping into that to survive.
If you believe the stats where every Canadian, for every dollar they make, they owe $2.
Yes. That's what's going on right now.
That means they're massively over-leveraged, right? And it's hard because they've been gaslighting everybody for like, oh yeah, no, buy this. Oh yeah, construction. Oh yeah, we need people. We need this. During COVID, construction workers were essential.
Yeah.
Everyone get to work.
Yeah.
We need to build penthouses. Okay. It's vital that the essential construction workers go to work. COVID, no COVID, don't worry about it. Wear a mask, stay 6 feet away. Here's some water to wash your hands. You'll be fine. Build that penthouse. Right?
Get it done. We can move on.
The best part of all of that is, you know, there was no mandates for that. None of this. So, boom, construction workers out there just living their best life during a pandemic. Well, everybody got a chance to stay home.
Yeah.
And we're talking about these associations too, safety professionals. They got to work from home. Working at heights, the number one killer, or falls from heights, the number one killer of workers. Everyone's required to have working at heights training. During COVID, they shut down all the training facilities. They didn't want to get COVID. So what happened to these workers?
They kept on working.
But anyways, we digress. Back to unemployment, right? So we have over-leveraged supervisors, over-leveraged workers. I just got married. I just bought a big house. I'm driving a Ford F-150. Oh, guess what? Your check's getting cut in half. Oh, guess what? You're getting laid off.
Then what do you do?
As a stat I read yesterday, 300 people a day are filing for bankruptcy.
Oh, yeah. We're having the biggest right now that's going on. It's the biggest going on in Canadian history.
Right. And next year is going to
be... Do you blame them? Why? Like, I don't understand. You put everybody in this position.
Well, people also...
They contributed to it.
Like, you know, I'm a frugal person, you know, to the point where I've been called a cheap Portuguese.
Yeah.
But... I'm, you know,
but you
I'm happy that I was frugal all these years.
So here's the thought process is like, okay, I want to ask you, Philip, why do you give a shit?
Why do I give a shit? A, because I care about workers. B, because I care about construction. I've been here since, you know, I was
You've been in it long enough to see the hills and valleys, right?
And you hate to see people going through this pain.
When they have all these skills and they contribute to an infrastructure that grows an economy.
Well, 100%. But I think it's the gaslighting that gets me the most. You know, if you guys followed us or people that are watching today have been following our Instagram page, S1, and for the last few years, we were very outspoken during COVID.
Yeah.
Extremely outspoken.
Yeah.
Right? To the point where I got called all kinds of names. You know? And we're talking about in my world... peers and colleagues and people. Oh, Phil. After that, it's been straight gaslighting. Straight. They were talking about a labor shortage. There was never a labor shortage.
I know. I've been
what there was an influx of cash.
Yes.
Here's money. Do construction. Stay home. Here's money. Here's build the up. We need this. We need that. Okay. Now that the cash has dried up, interest rates have gone up.
Now what?
Nobody's buying houses.
My biggest problem right now is... It was nice to see the government talk about all these training opportunities, all these incentives to get kids. And when I say kids, I mean teenagers and early 20-year-olds. Sure. Not necessarily so much the workforce of career changing. So the other people that are in their 30s and 40s, I want to get into construction at that point. So I'm still going through the training seminars, the grant funding, the OEAPs, all that stuff, everything like that. I'd love to know how many went in and how many are jumping out right now.
100%.
And I'm telling you, it's double digits, and it's high double digits.
Sure. Any worker that came into the trade in the last 2 years, and Manny, you're old enough to remember this news article. I think I was back in 96. I was in high school. Toronto Star put out a big article about the highest dropout rate. The Portuguese have the highest dropout rate in high school.
They were actually brought that out? Seriously? Man,
it was on the front page. I swear to God.
Where are they dropping out to? Construction.
So they all dropped out to go to construction. This is back in 96, 97.
So what was happening in construction in 96, 97? It was at a boom.
Sure. The same guys that dropped out are millionaires now.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just, it's almost like do what the government says, but opposite. Right? So it was, they were smashing the dropout rate. Don't go to trades. Oh, and go to, you know, university and college.
Here's the funny thing is that the government is not giving any Portuguese, Italian, Croatian, any Europeans incentives to get into construction.
We don't need incentives.
Because we want to do it.
What incentives do we want?
We want to do it.
I was born this way. You know, like, I don't need you to pay me extra for it. I just want to do a good job and go home.
Do you think the workforce is oblivious to what's about to happen?
I don't think they're oblivious about what's about to happen. I think...
Or they're denying it. Like, it's,
I think we're just along for this boat ride with no paddles. We're just going at the whim of what these policymakers and decision makers are doing. Right? Like, which department can we tackle first? Immigration? Like... You know,
it's unrealistic presentations of projects in this province, this city, this country that should never be presented. You know what I mean? You should realistically be presenting projects. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man. They talk a talk and then what's really happening is completely different.
You know, the routine. Sorry.
It's okay.
Let's just talk low rise. Let's talk like custom. You don't start building until you have all your ducks in a row. How many tradespeople you know? Hey, Phil, I got this massive job. Massive job. I got this many square feet. This is what's going on. How many units? All like just butter, 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 right? No idea when I'm starting. No idea when a green light I have got. Nothing. But that's what the government does. They present all these bells and whistles, but don't really give you realistic on what's going to happen when you get this project started.
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest with you, Manny. As an inspector, I was fortunate enough during these investigations to open up a lot of can of worms, see how money flows, because health and safety deals a lot with duties and responsibilities, and that's determined by money in terms of your position as employer, subcontractor, constructor, owner, etc. And during these investigations, you know, you study the flow of money. Who's paying who got this money? Where did this money come from? What's this? And MOL has done joint investigations with Ministry of Finance, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we've referenced cases to the Ministry of Finance. And once you start understanding the flow of money and you start understanding shell corporations and that whole shell game of go like this and go like that and move your hands and move the ball and now you see it and now you don't, you start getting a very good understanding of how things operate on these levels. But
can you change it?
No, this is
are people going to let you change it?
I have no interest in changing any of these things. It's not my business. But, you know, the legalities of some of these things are questionable. But again, we digress. Unemployment and back to the point.
I don't think it's a digress. I think it's directly connected, because the unfortunate thing is that you got the workforce that is, if you are thinking about this, you are seriously freaking out. You're trying to figure out what the next 6 months are going to be like, right? But if you're at the top, you've got plenty of savings, you got plenty of rollover, you got plenty of stuff to move around, and you got maybe even other provinces, other countries to go work in.
And this is where the disconnect is now. Well, it's always been, but now it's being emphasized more. So you got the top 25% of the construction companies in this province. Okay, these are the companies that bid on major infrastructure projects. These are the ones that have multi-million dollar payrolls. These are the ones that, you know, these are big companies. Some of them my clients, right? Have they seen a slowdown? Yes, but not to the same level as low rise or high rise. Not yet anyway, right? Because a lot of the money comes in from the government, funding for major projects, Ontario Line, Metrolinx projects, this incentives, project, that project. Man. But, you know, it's just insane to see job sites that are completely abandoned or ghost towns. I've never seen it. It boggles my mind. Right. And back to the point of the Portuguese and the dropouts and this and that, they were smashing us Portuguese. They were smashing us. You know, parents were on people's cases, you know, don't drop out, go to university, go to college and this and that. And a lot of Portuguese went to construction and it paid off because they did opposite of what the government was saying. Now we're at a point where the government's saying everyone needs to go into construction, construction, construction. We take them all. But construction's always been like that. Construction is probably the most diverse sector in all of Ontario, in all of our industries. Why? Because construction doesn't care.
Doesn't care who you are.
Doesn't care who you are. Doesn't care where you come from. Doesn't care. Nothing. Doesn't care.
Do you want to learn? Join.
Construction only cares about your skills.
Yeah.
And your willingness to learn. That's all construction cares about.
Yeah.
That's it. So, you know, like a lot of this, these types of people in construction and those types of people, and we got to get young people into construction. And I've seen people on your show, all these people are going to retire and we need to hire more and we need to all the. Where are these numbers coming from?
They're making this shit up.
Where are these numbers coming from? Dude, the unemployment rate in Ontario is at 7%. Okay, that's all of it. That's based on an average. Got it. What is it for specific sectors? And then break me down those sectors.
How often does the government talk about safety?
They talk about it a lot.
No, publicly speaking.
I feel like they talk about it a lot. If you follow these associations and you follow the Ministry of Labor, Ontario at Work, whatever it may be, on Instagram, social media and stuff, man, these guys are doing a lot of, you know, patting themselves on the back and giving out awards and safety is important and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But I haven't seen any metrics that are down in the last 5 years.
So they're just talking about it, but they're not really following up on it.
I don't know. Listen, I'm not here to criticize Well, I will criticize some of the roles that these players play in our entire health and safety system. But what I can say is this. From the ground perspective, because my boots are always full of mud. From the ground perspective, from the front line, whatever they're saying is not happening there.
No, because they're not on site.
Whether they're on site, whether they're in touch, whether they have a clue, whether they even care. Every single metric is up. Every single one. Every single one. And it's going to get worse. If due to the unemployment, funding for health and safety in this province gets cut. And I mean, hey, IHSA, you're not getting $5 million this year. What's going to happen to these places? They're going to have to fire workers.
They're going to fire workers and they're going to push other workers that stay. And you're going to get fatalities.
I'm talking about these safety groups. I'm talking about these associations. I'm talking about, you know.
So it's fewer people coming in advising and educating you and supervising if you're doing it wrong or right.
Listen.
So you get away with stuff.
These associations apparently are non-profit associations. But they generate profits.
Canada non-profit, those are two state, like it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know, man.
There's lots of construction associations that are non-profit.
You know what I know? I know that as an inspector, our task when an investigation was happening was finding the disconnect between a health and safety program, what an employer says they do, and what is actually happening in the field. So if their health and safety program says, we do this, we do that, we care about safety, we care about our workers, and we do all these things to the best. And then you go to the job site, no one's wearing hard hats, guardrails are missing, everything's a disaster, excavation looks like shit, trenches are about to collapse. Then there's obviously a disconnect between what's happening on the ground and what's happening in that health and safety program.
Phil, what do you think is going to... Okay, so we know the passionate tradespeople that are going to get laid off, they are going to find work. They'll find those cash jobs because they need to.
If they exist, Manny.
They're going to, but they'll find something. They'll totally, they're hungry enough to find something.
I'm definitely a strong believer that the better you are as in skills, the better your work ethic is, the hungrier you are.
The phone will ring.
It'll ring because people need people like that.
Yes.
Always.
What's going to happen to all this new workforce that is coming in first year, second year? We know majority of them are leaving. Where are they going to?
No clue.
Are they just going to be the barista? Are they going to be the McDonald's worker? Like, where are they going?
Are there jobs there? I don't know. What did I see when I was looking at a stat the other day? I posted it up on Instagram about the percentages of increases of temporary foreign workers.
Oh, and then Lululemon, whatever. I was getting approval.
Not just Lululemon, stats per sector. So we're talking about 300% increases in temporary foreign workers in some sectors. In some sectors, 3,000% increase.
So where is everybody else going?
I have no idea.
I'm trying to figure out what industry are you going into.
The way we're going, we're all going to be on unemployment soon.
You're going to crash the system.
The system's being crashed.
Yeah.
The construction sector... unemployment or employment rate is being crashed right now. Low rise fell off a cliff.
Do you think this younger generation of tradespeople can weather the same storm that the older generation went through in the 90s?
I think it's going to depend on how over leveraged they are. If you're 24 years old, you just got married, you just bought a house, and you're driving a Ford F-150 that cost you $100,000.
You bought a house that was five times more than what they bought in the 90s. You bought a vehicle that was five times more than the 90s. So you have a lot of overhead.
Listen, some of the stories I hear, and this comes from the words of supervisors, this comes from the words of the mouths of project managers, owners of companies. Philip, if I don't give that check right on time, my phone doesn't stop ringing. If these guys don't collect their check and the next day pay their bills, they're shafted. We're talking about people spending 80 to 90% of their income or family income.
To pay essentials.
To pay... I don't know, Ford F-150 might not be essential, but to pay their bills.
They can't get out of those leases. That's the unfortunate thing.
Listen.
The penalties associated, that's the problem. So you're carrying this overhead that you have to carry.
My first car was a 91 Chevrolet Cavalier.
I want to give him a shout out to Daniel from Junk Out. He has a beautiful Ford F-150, and I'll tell you the year. I think it was 1989 or 90. He paid $2,500 for it. Drives beautifully. You just bought it a year ago.
Yeah, well.
It's silver and red. It's got burgundy interior. It drives beautifully. And I said, here's the, it's got a little bit of rust, two owners.
Yeah,
and I said to him, good, this is the best vehicle anybody can buy. $2,500 is what he paid. People are paying more on tax on the brand new F-150s for a lease than they he paid for that vehicle in total.
Listen,
that's a smarter move.
Yeah, not being over leveraged during a time of crisis.
But it's been done. So it's been done. So all these people. So my concern is that we're going to have a mass exodus of people that are even just trying to start in construction.
It's a really difficult time to start in construction. Right, it's a really difficult time to start a business in construction. Right. Because competition is getting hungrier and hungrier.
Yeah. And the next guy will always be willing to do it for far less.
Well, even look, safety professionals. You know how many calls I've gotten the last 3 weeks? Hey, Phil, are you hiring? Hey, Phil, I need hours. Hey, Phil, you know, do you know anybody that you can put me in contact with? We're not talking about people that just read a book, went to university for 2 years. Hi, I'm a safety professional.
Career.
We're talking about people that have been in this industry for 15, 20, 20 years, man. Right? Why are these individuals not finding jobs? Because they're not being hired. Right? So we're going to start looking at an unemployment rate for engineers, an unemployment rate for project managers, an unemployment rate for skilled trades, an unemployment rate for, right? All of the peripheral jobs that go around construction, right? Manufacturing. The two biggest plants in BC for softwood lumber shut down.
Yeah.
Right? So now we're starting to get these peripheral trades. You know, the people that manufacture the windows, the people that create the product, the siding, the screws, the whatever. Right? Caterpillar that creates the machines.
Did you hear about the tariff for aluminum?
No.
They're proposing it. A tariff on aluminum. We don't have our own aluminum here. We bring it in.
Why do they want to propose a tariff?
Be competitive. They want to impose this. And that's like, think about anything that's aluminum. How much aluminum products are used in construction?
I think everything the government does on any level, we should just probably do opposite.
The problem is that what's going on, I agree with you 1,000%.
Opposite.
Whatever they say, don't do.
No.
And do your own homework and figure it out on your own. But here's the thing is nobody's going to talk about safety. It's going to be like you'll have a list of everything that's going on, economy.
You know who's going to talk about safety? The Ministry of Labor in the next 6 to 1 year. Why? Because the fatality rates are going to go down and the injury rates are going to go down and they're going to say, hey, look how good of a job we're doing.
Oh, for fuck. So then they're basically just going to present the gas and the light at the same time.
Right at the same time, right? But the number of injuries and the number of fatalities, the way the data is gathered and presented, is not based on 100,000 hours like in other provinces. It's just based on total stats, right? So
if you cut the workforce.
You cut the workforce, you cut the amount of hours, you do the math, the number of fatalities is going to go down, the number of injuries is going to go down.
We're going to have such amazing safety records.
Our safety is amazing. Look, we've only had three fatalities this year.
Unemployment's at double digits right
yeah,
now.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Unemployment's at 90%. Safe. Right? That's what I suspect is going to happen.
Because nobody's having them.
No one's having them. And man, listen, I see it. I see my friends sitting at home. I see people that I've known in this industry for 20 years.
You see it on their faces on whatever job sites they can get. Bro, on.
You know what's going to go happening? Divorce rates are going to go up.
Oh, I already said that.
That's what's going to happen.
Economical is directly related to relationship
100%.
Stressors, man.
100%.
Directly.
Yeah. There are so many ripple effects from the unemployment in construction that I don't think people have really actually grasped how wide of effect this is.
They grasp it when everything's good and all kinds of construction projects are going on because it builds a country up. So if you take it away, what happens?
Man, a lot of this is economics 101. This is like
the problem is the politicians never took it.
Manny, I think even worse than that. I think this is an incompetence.
Purpose, by design.
By design.
Yeah,
I agree. Listen, the second they raised interest rates up, I started having these conversations with the people around me. And we're talking about last year or a year and a half ago. Oh, great. The prices of houses are about to drop. No, the prices of houses will never drop. Da, 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 da. We need immigrants to come in so we can build more houses. Okay. But if the immigrants can't afford the houses because the Canadians can't afford the houses,
Where are these people going to live?
They can't.
Oh, they can live 20 people in one house. Oh, yeah, that, exactly. I love your humanity there. They that's
can,
amazing.
They can construct that too. So that's the other thing is that they're bringing, we've seen the videos from other countries, and they're bringing those safety mindsets here.
Well, listen, again, metrics on the street. And this is where I go by. My brain, my gut, and the things I see. 6 months ago, 8 months, a year ago, Tim Hortons beside my house at 5:30 in the morning, easily 30 to 40 people outside waiting to be picked up to go to a job site. Easily.
Really?
Yeah, vans lining up, people jumping in. Hey, amigo, the going rate for an illegal worker was anywhere between $10 to $15 an hour. If he had a pimp, I'm not shitting you, man. If he had a pimp, it's $20 an hour. Okay? There's pimps.
There's construction pimps.
Construction pimps. Okay? Some people call them temp agencies. they had to license these temp agencies. Okay? This happened last year, a year and a half ago. The Ministry of Labor had to license, passed a law that if you're a temp agency, you had to get a license from the Ministry of Labor because there's so much rampant abuse of these workers. It was out of control. Right? Even, what was it, last month, the UN released a report on human trafficking and modern slavery in Canada, in Ontario. Not one government official in this province even recognized that report. Even talked about that report.
They can't.
Even mentioned that report.
They can't.
I was like, oh, thanks for this report. Right into the garbage.
So we got a perfect storm happening here because you've got a workforce that's struggling, being laid off. You've got a workforce coming in that's going to not weather the storm. And then you got immigration taking over.
Oh, and then you have a bankrupt province.
That's what's happening, man.
Our province is bankrupt. Our municipalities are bankrupt. And what are they talking about? Olivia Chow. We don't know how much we're going to raise our taxes, but we know we got to raise taxes. Why are we talking about raising my taxes?
I keep looking for the strings around Olivia Chow.
Listen, I think
Marionette or puppet, whichever way you want to call it, I don't give a shit.
But by design,
somebody
my
is doing that, man.
So
it's a wake. It's you're waking us up here, Phil. Like,
listen, man, it's just listening to these stories. I've never heard any of this stuff
happening.
You're
talking to boots on the ground. Can we not send a list of questions to the premier and go, listen, how are you addressing this?
Manny, we might have to put an email up here. I have his email address. We'll write an email and ask some questions. Let's see if they respond.
They won't respond. It'll be canned response. It will be ChatGPT.
They'll get ChatGPT to answer Philip and Manny.
We actually got a response from our premier, and then we did it through a filter, and we found out that it was actually done through ChatGPT.
The reality is, at this stage, I could care less what any of these people on the upper echelons are saying.
Because they have their agenda.
I don't know. Listen.
They're making money.
It's either this is done on purpose or there's extreme incompetence here.
No, it's done on purpose, man.
Right? Like, if you didn't know that you're going to open up the floodgates and flood the province with workers, you didn't know that schools were going to be not capable. You didn't think that the hospitals are going to have a difficulty. I saw another report, 2007, they're expecting a shortage of teachers all the way up until 2027, shortage of teachers. Are we training any teachers?
Teachers a whole other segment here that
sure.
It is, it's a funny group of people. And I don't mean that in a,
I know a few teachers.
Funny. I'm talking about it's a really odd group of people. No, just because of either your hands are tied or the way they're being led.
I wouldn't like to be a teacher right now.
Exactly.
Based on speaking to teachers.
Exactly.
It's really tricky.
You want to make a change or do something, you're going to get resistance and pushed out.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is that they also, in the news, so I think it was grade 7s and 8s, failed the math test, the provincial equivalency, 50% math test or something like that.
We haven't even talked about how you're making this country dumber.
I don't know, man. I don't know. All I can talk about is the things I see. Right? It's, man... I feel for the guys that are getting laid off. Yeah, I feel 100%. For the kids that went into the trades in the last 2 years. I'm not saying going into the
with
trades
sunshine
is
sunshine and rainbows sold.
The selling, the story that they got sold. And even take a look at the immigrants, refugees, illegals, whichever way
it's another story, a different book.
But they got sold a dream too.
Yeah.
And my family are immigrants. We talked about this last time on the show. My family are immigrants. And
you know, the immigrant struggle, the immigrant battle here in Canada, the immigrants building this country, you know, it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
But that being said, these last 2 years, it was a free-for-all. Invite everybody. Bring everybody. Hey, let's go. Okay, great. They got sold a dream. Come to Canada, the land of opportunity, and da-da-da-da-da. They got sold a hell of a pipe dream. They come here, they can't afford to live, can't afford to eat, can't find jobs. So did they get railroaded too?
Of course.
I feel like this last batch of immigrants, this last 2 million immigrants that came, they totally got shafted.
Yeah. And I'm sure a large portion of them are leaving or going back.
Sure.
They have to.
Another news article about refugees fleeing Canada to the United States.
Or vice versa. We gotta wrap this one up, Phil. But I like that you're bringing this shit up because nobody else is talking about it.
It's there's a lot of pain and suffering happening out for these construction workers and people that I call friends, people that I've known, colleagues, you name it. I think a lot of people are out of touch of what's happening on job sites. And I think the worst is still yet to come, unfortunately. And next year is going to prove to be an interesting year. There's a lot of contracts that are coming up for negotiation. I don't know how the hell those are going to play out. If nobody's building houses,
they will not play out in the favor of tradespeople.
I don't know, man.
And the other scary thing that I see for a fact, and I've spoken to lots of people, union, non-union, what have you, they're all afraid to speak up. The amount of times I get complimented on, thank you for speaking up, Manny.
Speaking up about what? Like unemployment?
They're not allowed to speak up. You can't resist what's really going on. If you're a union member, if you're a certain in a See, company,
I feel like you should be able up. To question stuff.
But you can't speak up. You know what's going to happen.
Well, one thing's for sure. A lot of these unions collect their dues from workers working. And if they're not working, they're not collecting dues either.
So it's going to affect them.
Well, there's already rumors on the street that some of these unions either owe a lot of money to employers.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Some of the smaller unions. What did a story I heard this week? The father-in-law was a member of a bricklaying union. And I don't even know which bricklaying union. Anyways, he's collecting pension. They cut his pension in half. Oh, sorry, we don't have enough money for your pension. What I think needs to happen is a very careful analysis of how much money our system has. EI, pensions, benefits, whatever it is. We need to take a really close look at these finances.
No, they'll never do that.
No, never. But we should.
I know.
And take a look at and see if the system is going to be able to withstand
it won't.
1 year of unemployment.
It won't.
1 year of that no money force. Coming in.
That workforce.
1 year of no dues being paid.
Yeah.
1 year of no funding for this and that.
No.
I think we should take a look at that. And I think the people in power need to really pull out their calculators and start figuring out who they're going to fire first.
I think everybody in construction that's actually being sold to come in and they're deciding not to stay, they should all become cost consultants, start analyzing the entire construction industry. Get them to share this information.
Well, listen, a lot of people have tried to shine a light on the finances of certain things within a construction industry. And a lot of people have gone silent really quick once they done.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate. Right? So they can't speak up.
No, and you know, I don't know, man. But it'd be a horrible situation if we didn't have enough money to pay all this EI. How long can you stay on EI for?
No, you can't. That's the problem.
Is it 6 months?
It's a temp. I don't even know what it is. I've never collected EI ever.
Neither have I.
Right? So I don't know what the procedure is on that.
I don't know, but it can be infinite.
But you're 100% right that economics is directly related to safety. We're going to start seeing a lot more bad than good when it comes to that.
We're already seeing it.
Yeah.
It's already happening.
It's going to get worse.
We're talking about, again, every single metric. We're talking about the side effects of illegal cash jobs. And every single metric is up. I encourage anybody in the safety world, whether you're at these associations or whether you're at the government or whether you're whatever level, other than federal, because that's not my domain. But show me a metric that is positive. Show me something good.
That's easy, man. With Photoshop and some graphs and shit like that, you can totally do that. These and with ChatGPT. Phil, thank we gotta God get it. We gotta get the fuck out of here. All right. So everyone, share again. It's Instagram. My_S1. No, sorry.
No, my_S1.
My_S1.
Yeah. But listen, we're easy guys to find.
Yeah. Reach out. You got a question? You want to come on the show and talk?
We got a guest for the next show.
No, which is good. It's great. But also, if you wanna, if you know what? You guys are experiencing this. You're in the workforce. You guys want to come out and just have a chat with us? We can more than well.
You know what I'd love to have, Manny? I'd love to have a supervisor here or a worker here telling me about the challenges they're facing. And sure, maybe they can tell their challenges to the people that aren't listening.
Sure.
Maybe that's where we start.
Yeah. We'll do it. We'll build it. Thanks, Phil.
Manny, thank you, man.
Next one. We're out of here. You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.